Now we're going to go back to a passage we were looking at before Christmas, to the one we've just sung, and may indeed God bring in that day when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. We're going to look at this passage. Here's where we're going to focus. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Remember, we're thinking about how we should think like Jesus. Jesus was in very nature God. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And we've marveled and we've wondered at Jesus because he is in very nature God. And we think that when he's in this world, that's what he is. But actually, he has made himself nothing. So when you see Jesus, you're really seeing a servant. He's got the very nature of a servant. You're seeing humility itself, the humility of the man and the humility of God in Jesus Christ. And you're seeing his humble service, as we read in the Gospels. The humble service of Jesus. And where we left off before Christmas, we were thinking about the terms of Jesus' service. And there were three I wanted to highlight. We thought about how Jesus was obedient and about how he was led by the Holy Spirit. And today let's think about the third term of service of Jesus, and that is that Jesus was dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit. He was dependent upon help, the help of the Holy Spirit. So here you and I are this morning. We want to follow Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. And that means we want to love like Jesus. We want to love one another. We want to love our family. We want to love the people of our community. How are you doing? How is your love? How are you getting on in terms of loving the people around you and loving God? 10 out of 10? 100%? Full marks? How are you doing? When God looked at Jesus, when the Father looked at his Son, he said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Jesus somehow managed to do this thing that we're all sitting today thinking, or standing in my case, thinking, I could just think of this week and think of the times I've failed to love. But Jesus couldn't think of the times he'd failed to love, because he loved with perfection. And he did that in the eyes of God, not in other people's eyes, but in the eyes of God, not even in his own eyes, but in the eyes of God. God was well pleased with Jesus. How did he manage it? Does it ever strike you that the divergence of your life from the life of Jesus? Do you ever think to yourself, you know, I know what I should be myself. I don't even get up to that, let alone get up to what Jesus was. Does that strike you each day? Do you think to yourself, I do a lot, just my resources are so limited for loving. All it needs for me is to get a little bit tired, and instead of love, people get grumpiness. All it needs for me is to get a bit hungry, and instead of love, you know, they'll get selfishness. Just a little perturbation from the normal routines of life, and I'm out of sorts, and my love tank is empty. What about you? You identify with that? Do you love perfectly all the time? Is love just pouring forth from you? Well, it was from Jesus. And yet, he was a human being like us. He really was a human being like us. And his divine nature, and the knowledge of it, and the nature of it, and the character of it, and the power of it, were made nothing, is what the words are. In order for him to be like us. So he wasn't depending on his divine. He really was, as we've already thought about, depending on God the Holy Spirit. And that's a marvelous thing for us to realize, because I think Christians often say, oh, well, it was easy for Jesus, because he was God. Have you ever found yourself saying that? You know, you read Jesus and you think, well, it's easy for him to go and live a righteous life and give that life as a sacrifice because he was God. And any time anything got a wee bit tough, he just called on his godness and it rescued him from suffering and it rescued him from not knowing what to say or not knowing what to do or not having the power to face a situation. But read the Gospels carefully and you realize that's not the way it was. Jesus was like us, absolutely dependent for help. And so, it wasn't easy for him. He needed the help of the Holy Spirit. And if we think, oh, it's easy for Jesus, that disconnects us from Jesus. Jesus becomes someone who is unable to understand us, unable to help us, unable to sympathize with us. But that's really what, I guess, the devil who read of there wants us to think. Instead of us having a Savior who is alongside us and who has been in our shoes and felt our vulnerability, our ignorance, our weakness, and our need, and has depended on the Holy Spirit to supply all of these things that he needed in order to help him to live perfectly for God. And he shows us the way so that we can do that ourselves. So this is the third term of Jesus' service, that he was dependent on the Holy Spirit. And this is what we're going to look at in these next few minutes. He was dependent on the Holy Spirit. Now, again, and I thought this for many years as a Christian, I said, well, you know, why does Jesus need the Holy Spirit? He's God. Why does he need the Holy Spirit? But you see in the Gospels, and we're just going to look at the next slide here, we see in the Gospels that, got another slide, here we go, that Jesus is absolutely living with the Holy Spirit. So he's baptized. The Holy Spirit descends on him in bodily form like a dove. Straight away it says, it's just a little excerpt from Luke's Gospel, that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness. Then he returns to Galilee from the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he reports to the people in the synagogue, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Now, it's just a little sample that Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, when he was in this world, yes, he was indeed the Son of God. He was truly God. But he, in the nature of his service to God and for us, depended on the Holy Spirit. That was the nature. Those were the terms of his service. So, going back to Philippians 2, next slide, going back to Philippians 2, just see that here. So he's God, and you think, well, that's fine, he can deal with everything, but he makes himself nothing. So you look at Jesus and you think he's just an ordinary man. And that is indeed what people thought he was. And you read the Gospels and you realize, you know, his brothers and his sisters thought he was just an ordinary man. The people of Nazareth he grew up with said, "We know this man. We know him. He's just a carpenter." Because the fact that he was God was entirely and completely out of sight. And he did not depend upon his divine, but upon the Holy Spirit. So he made himself nothing. He made himself like us, took the very nature of a servant. He's really a servant in human likeness, the appearance of man. He really is a human being. And he really does humble himself and die on a cross. And he does all of that, not through his own power, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a couple of places where it kind of says that. We read in Hebrews where Jesus says, "I will put my trust in God." You think, why does Jesus need to trust anyone? He's God. But remember, he's made himself nothing. He starts where we start, with human weakness and human ignorance. And he puts his trust in God to supply what he needs to know and the power that he needs to serve. He says in John 3 in verse 34 that he is the one whom God has sent who speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit. How does Jesus manage to speak the words of God? Well, we don't manage to do that, do we? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we're able to quote a passage. Sometimes we're able to say what we think is what God would have us say. But Jesus is able to continually speak the words of God. How? Because God's given him the Spirit without limit. And he's put his trust in God for that. So when you look in the Gospels and you see Jesus knowing things he couldn't know, remember, you'll also look in the Gospels and see Jesus sometimes not knowing things that he would know if he was truly exercising his divine knowledge. So sometimes he is surprised. Sometimes he has to ask, you know, what's happening here? What's going on here? But at other times he knows the heart. He knows people. Because the Holy Spirit has revealed that to him, has given him knowledge. And then you see Jesus, sometimes you see his weakness. He's tired, he's asleep, he's hungry, he's thirsty, just like everyone else. But then at other times you see him healing people. You see him raising the dead. And how do the two go together? Well, because he's just made himself nothing. He's a human being like us. But sometimes God says, now is the time for you to raise the dead. And I will give you the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. And that's what happens. So I think as young Christians, we often look at the Gospel and think, well, Jesus is just going about saying what he wants, doing what he wants, anytime he pleases. But it's not like that at all. He's a servant. Jesus is doing what the Father wants him to do, what the Father reveals by the Holy Spirit that he should do. And any works of miracle and power that he does are done by the Holy Spirit's power, through his dependence on the Holy Spirit. So let me give you a little example. On one occasion, there was this fig tree, and Jesus went to it because he was hungry. There's the weakness, there's the humanity. And there's no figs. The figs are not ripe. The figs are not ready. So there's the weakness. And you think, well, here is a man who truly is just a man. But the next thing, he curses the fig tree. And the fig tree withers and dies from the root. And you think, how did that happen if he's just a man? Oh, well, he's God. No. He is God. But that's not why it happened. Why it happened was, and it doesn't actually tell us this directly, but the Holy Spirit said to Jesus, "I want you to do this act as a symbol of Israel Israel is the fig tree that should produce fruit, but it's not producing fruit. And so it is under God's judgment. And he curses the fig tree, and the Holy Spirit's power withers the fig tree. And then the disciples ask him about it, say, Jesus, how did that just happen? And Jesus doesn't say to them, well, it happened because, you see, I am God, and I did it. What he does say, and it's really surprising, is, you know, how did the fig tree wither? He says, it's because I have faith. And I depended upon God, my Father, who gave me the power of his Holy Spirit to do this act. You can do that too. So that's what it says. I tell you, disciples, your need. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. So Jesus is saying, not, you can't do what I did because I'm God. I just withered a fig tree. He's saying, you can do what I just did. Because I am really, as God, I made myself nothing, just like man. And I depend, I put my trust in the Father to give me his Holy Spirit, to show me what to do, when to do it, and to give me the power to do it. And you can do that too, disciples. And that is a very, very great thing for us to begin to understand. And there's a time for it. I've thought a lot recently about the fact that at some point in Jesus' life, after he was 12 years old, his father, Joseph, died. And Jesus, he knew he was the Son of God, because he tells us that when he's 12. Remember that? We looked at it in New Year. I'm about my Father's business. He knew who he was. He knew the power was there if he were to use it. It would be there. So when Joseph died, he knew, I can raise Joseph. I don't need to be in this grief. I don't need to see my mother weeping. I don't need to see my brothers and my sisters weeping. I don't need to be weeping myself. I don't need the village to be in sorrow at their loss. I can raise Joseph. But he remembers his terms of service. And his terms of service are, depend upon the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does not say to Jesus at that time, Jesus, raise Joseph. The Holy Spirit has him suffer the excruciating sorrow of loss. Feeling the same weakness that you and I feel when faced with loss. Experiencing in perfection the emotion of bereavement. He has the power, but he's obedient. He listens to the Holy Spirit. He depends on the Holy Spirit, and it is not the Holy Spirit's will to raise Joseph up. So, like we experience, he goes through the loss. The time will come when Jesus will raise people, but not everyone. Just the people the Holy Spirit tells him to raise and gives him power to raise. These are big things. How are you doing in getting your mind round them? I'm struggling. I mean, I'm really struggling. I've been thinking about this a lot in the last few months. It's all there in the Bible. But it's really, really a challenge to try and find the true nature of Jesus, that it is a nature like ours. He is, as we read, made like his brothers and his sisters. He depends. So what does he need the Holy Spirit for? Well, there's a couple of things we can mention. He needs the Holy Spirit for righteousness and for service. Just go through this quickly. It says, for example, in Hebrews 9, Jesus, through the eternal Spirit, there's the Holy Spirit's power again in his life, offered himself unblemished to God. So how did Jesus do that? How did he offer himself unblemished? I mean, whenever you and I in prayer say, Lord, here am I, I'm your servant, here, you know, use me, we're not offering ourselves unblemished to God because of our track record. Yeah. We can't do that. We need forgiveness. But Jesus wasn't like that. He never needed forgiveness because he didn't sin. So when he offers himself ultimately at the cross to God, how did he manage that? You know, you and I, how long does it take before your first sin takes place once the alarm goes off in the morning? How long? How many seconds can you go before you have your first selfish thought? Before you have your first proud thought? Your first unbelieving thought? Your first worry? And how long does it go? We can't offer ourselves unblemished. We need God's forgiveness. And that forgiveness comes through Jesus. Because Jesus did offer himself unblemished to God for our sins. How did he do it? Through the eternal Spirit. He depended completely upon the Holy Spirit, who enabled him at every point of decision where he could choose the right or the wrong, at every moment of thinking where he could think the wrong or the right thought, he chooses the right way. And he is able to achieve perfect righteousness. He needed the Holy Spirit for that. No one can do that without the complete help of God. Remember, in Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit as Christians, but in Jesus, God gave the Holy Spirit without measure. He needs the Holy Spirit for service as well. How's he gonna serve God? Isaiah tells us quite a lot about this, believe it or not. You might think, well, this is all New Testament. There's lots of it in the Old Testament. Four times in Isaiah, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit appear together. And Jesus quotes that in Luke 4, one of the readings we had. So, Isaiah 61, for example. Remember Jesus in the synagogue? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He reads from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor and so on. So what's happening? Jesus the Son says that the Lord God the Father has given me the Spirit to do the work, to serve him. Another place in Isaiah, here is my servant, God says, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my Spirit delights. I will put my Spirit upon him. And he will bring forth justice to the nations. How does he do that? Well, he serves because the Father puts his Spirit upon him to do his work, to bring justice to the nations. And there's lots more we could say about this. So when it says here that Jesus in Philippians 2 was a servant, took the very nature of a servant, we see how he was able to do that because God, the Holy Spirit, anointed him to serve. So let's just close by asking us, what does this mean for us? What does this mean for us? Well, as we read in Hebrews 2, Jesus was made like his brothers and sisters in every way. So that when we look at Jesus, we're not thinking, oh, well, you know, he's different. When he serves God, it's a different deal to when I serve God. When he serves God, well, he's God himself. He just does whatever he wants. Well, it's not like that. When he serves God, he knows our weakness. He knows our ignorance. And he really, as a human being, left to be what human beings are, totally helpless. And he puts his trust in the Father to give him the Holy Spirit to lead him and to empower him. And that is how he's able to serve and be righteous. We are in the same position. When we look at Jesus, we should be saying, Jesus is like what I should be like. Jesus inspires me to be someone who depends upon the Father for the Holy Spirit's help and power, so that I can know things and do things and be righteous when otherwise I just cannot be. The humanity of Jesus, the man, the servant, is like ours should be, obedient, led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, so he can obey and follow the way the Spirit leads. Jesus is showing you what you can be. And for everyone here who has begun to walk in the steps of Jesus and has begun to realize how far short you fall of Jesus, remember that Jesus is also showing you what you will be. Because the day is coming when all of God's people will be filled without limit by the Holy Spirit. We will be like Jesus. Completely. When we see him, we will be like him. Great words. So, for you this morning, for me this morning, let us recognize we need help. Let's recognize our need. Let's recognize how far short we are of what we should be. But don't despair. Seek the Holy Spirit to empower you and to guide you in your life. And, I mean, really seek him. Really seek him, so that you find that guidance and that power in your life, so that you can serve God and be righteous and find yourself a transformed person, someone who begins to look very different to what you look like, someone who becomes extraordinary in your love and in your humility and in your wisdom and in your consistency and faithfulness to God. Jesus is showing you what you will be. He's showing you what you can be now and what you should seek to be. Serving God. Let's pray for a moment together. So Lord, we come before you in absolute helplessness. I feel utterly myself that need of you, even standing here just mumbling over words that I can't quite get my mind to work. And Lord, we know that. We know how difficult it is for us to get it together and to be what we ought to be. So fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with wisdom and fill us with power, so that we can love you with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. And so that, Lord, we can do your work. You are the Savior and we are the saved. But help us, Lord, in turn, to be people who pull others off the railway tracks, to be people who help others in their need and who rescue others and bring them into your kingdom. Glory to your name, Father. You're worthy. You've got such great things ahead for us. And we are so thrilled to think of them. Keep us and guide us. Empower us and lead us for your glory and praise. Amen.